I met a girl with a drink in her hand. She had ruby red lips and coal black hair and eyes that would tempt any man. She sat down at my table, placing her soft hands in mine.
Hey everyone, the tunes you just heard are courtesy of my Grandpa Ernie, not Grandpa Gerald, who you hear about in the Dearest Mom episodes, but my sweet Grandpa Ernie. And I, of course, am your host, Tessa Morrow. Thanks for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift, whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from big city to tiny village, from the East Coast to the West Coast to the Sunshine Coast, from the Arctic Circle to the Bermuda Triangle to Times Square, from desert to beach, and everything in between, it is absolutely appreciated.
Round of applause. This week's city shout-out goes to
Netanyah, Israel, Tours, France, Afton, Missouri, Lehighton, Pennsylvania, Brewer, Maine, and Hamilton, Montana. Today, we continue on with the Dearest Mom series, and we are now in part three. Grandpa Gerald is stuck in the post-hospital in Ward 3 at his least favorite place that he was at during his military days, the dreaded Fort Sill in Oklahoma. Again, no offense to my Oklahoma people. I love your state. Now, Grandpa, he penned this letter back home Saturday evening, August 1st of 1942. Dearest Mom, a month from today I was home on furlough. I hope that I'll be home again soon. I'm not sure whether they will let me go home again, but I'm hoping. I feel pretty fair this evening. I don't know what the heck is the matter. I have really been sick and miserable since my operation. Last night I had to have an ice pack, and of course some dope before I could go to sleep. Yesterday my stitches were removed, and I was put on a regular diet. I had 13 stitches on this incision, while on the last one I only had 8. Quite a difference. The heat around here is terrible. It's up around 100 degrees every day. I'm wondering if Mrs. Zorger ever went on her vacation yet. She's the one I was telling you about that may stop in and see you. And I hope she does. She might even stay a couple of days if you asked her. She's really a swell woman. I just sent word last night telling them I was in the hospital, so I expect them to come and see me. Did George have his operation yet? Just what is wrong with his knee? Why doesn't he wait a while before he has an operation? As long as Francis is near Los Angeles, I would suggest that George get some information from UCLA. It's really a wonderful school, and I'd certainly like to see George go there. He could probably stay with Francis, which would be a great advantage for him. Love to all, Gerald. Now, this next letter is most likely his final letter that he wrote while stationed at Fort Sill. The envelope shows his battalion being Battery F, 32nd Battalion, and the date, well, it's September 17th of 1942. Dearest Mom, I'm back again, and it seems that I've never been gone. I left Wichita Falls at 2:30 and got here about 5. I got a haircut and came out here to the post. As yet, I haven't spoken to any officials, but I'm not in the least worried about the little misunderstanding. You see, the train I was on crashed into a car at Trinidad, and it delayed us about 30 minutes. I didn't get to see the car. I didn't even know what had happened till we left Trinidad. I get more fed up with trains each time I ride one. I just figured out that I have traveled a little over 15,000 miles on trains in the last 7 years. It's awful hot here. After coming from home where you know how cool it's been, it's pretty miserable. I would sure like to be shipped out of this state, especially before winter, when it gets plenty cold. Well, I am really tired, so I guess I'll hit the hay. It's 9:15, and I mean PM. Give my love to Papa, and I want you both to remember not to worry about me. Just take care of yourselves. And you know I can and will take care of myself. And someday soon, all of these unpleasant partings will just be forgotten memories. Love, Gerald. Now, I know some of these letters don't really have much in them, just kind of like a, hey, how are you? It's hot. This is what's happening. But again, you have to think about that family or any military family back home. Just any letter is very good and welcome news. Now, 4 days after the last letter I just wrote, Gerald writes home again. And guess what, you guys? He is no longer at Fort Sill, Oklahoma. He is now at Camp A.P. Hill, located in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Dearest Mom, it looks like I'm finally getting a taste of what Army life really is. I have been shipped to a camp here in Virginia called Camp A.P. Hill. This outfit here is on maneuvers, working in conjunction with the Louisiana maneuvers. Believe me, it's 100% different than that of which I have been accustomed. And although it's plenty rough and primitive, I'm sure when it's all over, I will have enjoyed this. There are thousands of tents here. There are no lights, no running water, no washrooms or lavatories, no footlockers to keep our belongings, no place to hang our clothes, no kitchen, no mess hall, no dishes, no sheets and pillows. The tents are just like circus tents. They accommodate 6 men, which makes it slightly crowded. There is no kind of floor in the tents. We sleep on army cots using only 3 army blankets with no quilt like we had at the training center, no sheets or a pillow. We eat out of our mess kits out in the open. The food, which is good, being prepared in an outdoor kitchen. The restrooms are holes in the ground with tent-like cloth stretched around, but no top. To wash and to shave, we fill a steel helmet full of cold water, and we use that. We take cold baths in a creek, which is about 1 mile from here. After an interview, after our arrival yesterday, I was placed in the personnel tent and have done nothing so far but type. The officers live under exactly the same conditions as we do. This outfit is, I think, slated to go to Africa shortly. However, I don't think I will go because of my too recent operation. But as I told you when I was home, I hope I can go across sometime, and I'd like to go to Africa. I figure that a guy is not going to die until it's his time, regardless of where he is. And if it's his time, he's apt to die here, or home, or at Chico, or at any place. So that's the least of my worries. We are about 60 miles from Washington, and I am anticipating a visit there to some old friends and talk to Chenoweth and Johnson. I started writing a letter telling all about my trip. It's a long one, not quite finished, but I'll send it in a few days. Love, Gerald. So as we know, Grandpa Gerald did make it to Africa. I read you guys that campaign letter, and it was a doozy, like 8 pages long, and that's in its very own chapter. And so I really, if you haven't heard it before, or if you enjoyed it so much that you want to hear it again, go check it out. It's the African Campaign Letter, part of the Words by My Grandfather series. And the Italian one as well. Oh my God, just both of them were amazing. And reading those things, I lately have been watching Band of Brothers with my boyfriend. We watch like an episode every other week or so. It's like 9 or 10 episodes. And so just kind of watch that. And every time I watch it, I think of both of my grandpas. Medic! And my grandpa who just passed away at 101. Right there out in the open as everyone else is taking cover and shooting and doing what they have to do. They're out in the open just like, you know, working on the person who just got hurt. And then my grandpa, Gerald, it's amazing. When I was reading his African and Italian campaign letters, it really just like made me think of Band of Brothers. And so really interesting stuff for sure. It's just so amazing that him and so many of these other people survived. And sadly, they are, like I said before, a dying breed. Not many World War II veterans out there anymore. And it's just very, very sad. Anyways, this next letter was written on September 24th, 1942. Dearest Mom, I'm sitting here in Fredericksburg waiting for the guy that brought me in this evening. He's just about due to show up, so I'll write till he comes. I got a pass to come in tonight to get that money that you wired to Fort Sill. I never did explain that Thursday evening I found out I was pulling out the next day. I had exactly 11 cents, which today is $2.18, and I hated to go any place broke. We left before the wire got to Fort Sill, consequently. I traveled 1,800 miles with 11 cents in my pocket. I bought a bar of candy and a pop in Kentucky. So when I hit camp, I still wasn't broke. I had 1 cent, which today, guys, is 20 cents. I got the money okay, and it will come in handy. I didn't get paid last month, and I didn't get to sign the payroll this month, so I won't get paid this month. I was completely out of stationery, so I bought a bunch tonight. How's George coming along in school? Swell, I hope. How's Mickey and Rosalie, and Josephine and Frankie and everybody? Here it seems like I'm 1,000 miles from home. Well, that guy is here, so I'll close now and say so long for a while. It isn't necessary for you to answer all of my letters because I realize how difficult it is writing when you're home. Just let me hear from you once in a good while. I give you and Pop my deepest love. Yours always, Gerald. And I will read one final letter today, and that is September 29th, 1942. So the letters that I just read you guys, the dates were August 1st, and then the four others were in September, the 17th, the 21st, the 24th, and the 29th. So even though Gerald was super busy, he really did just miss his family so much. And it was so refreshing for him to just be writing and being so active and keeping in touch with his beloved family. I love that. I think I get that from him. So here is that final letter that I'm reading today. Camp AP Hill, Private Gerald Morrow. Dearest Mom, I received your letter this afternoon and I was very glad to hear from you. I have to get out some typing tonight, so I thought I would take a little time out and drop you a few lines. You don't know how much I appreciate your going to church for me every day. I know it will do some good. Although I might not have shown it, I have strong faith in the Lord, and I shall always have. One thing I have never forgotten to do, regardless of wherever I was to say my prayers every night. There is a little Catholic chapel just up the road a ways, and they are having Mass this Sunday. I am sure I'll be there, and if possible, I will go to communion. I got the cigarettes forwarded from Fort Sill that Francis sent, and incidentally, cigarettes are sometimes hard to get around here, so an occasional carton will help, and if possible, I would like very much to get the paper. I'm glad to hear that George is doing well in school and that Francis is making such rapid progress. I like my job a lot, but the weather is changing and it's terribly cold in the mornings when we get up. It is very cold now, too. I don't know what we'll do in another month if we are still here. I remember last year it got bitter cold in Washington. I used to complain when I would have to walk a block from where I stayed to the streetcar stop. I got a letter from one of the fellows I used to work with in Washington, and he said they have taken all the young single men from the Navy Yard. Well, Mom, I better stop now and get to work. It's getting awful cold. My fingers will be so stiff I won't be able to type. How's the weather at home? My deepest love to you and Pop. Gerald.
And that concludes another fantastic podcast. Legend has it, if you don't tune in, I'll be returning to haunt you. so make sure to tune in for the next episode.
Did you enjoy this week's episode? Listen to the others. They are all awesome. Haven't heard every single one yet? No need to fret. Just hit up any of those podcast platforms such as Deezer, Spotify, Castbox, Downcast, Pocket Cast, Player FM, Podcast Republic. Basically, wherever you may roam to hear your other spooky podcasts, you'll probably find Paranormal Prowlers podcast lurking in the background. Thanks, everyone, and I will see you next week.